What I think that the world is overly regulated, and to have a system where the rules are clear from the beginning, like when you have a cryptocurrency and the rules of spending, rules of having, and they are fixed and they're not going to change during just someone decides, okay, I need to do this. So in that case, having that system is really nice, and I think the world sooner or later will understand that we as a whole humanity of whole society, we need some kind of a system where the rules will be fixed from the beginning and not be changed during the game.
Monero Talk is sponsored by Cake Wallet, a trustless open source wallet that gives you the keys to your crypto. Invoice, donate, and trade your Monero with peace of mind, piece of cake. And by StealthyX, an instant exchange where privacy is a top concern. Go to StealthyX.io to instantly exchange between Monero and 450 plus assets without having to create an account or register and with no limits, making StealthyX a simple way to purchase Monero with crypto anonymously. Monero Talk is also made possible from contributions by viewers and listeners like you, and supporting us is easier than ever by typing in MoneroTalk.crypto in your Monero.com or Cake Wallet send address field to send us a tip.
This week on Monero Talk. Douglas Duman interviews Vasily, a software developer from Helsinki, who has developed an application called CryptoPole that utilizes the ring signature concept from Monero. The application aims to enable anonymous voting, surveys, and whistleblowing by leveraging the privacy features of ring signatures. Vasily demonstrates how it works and explores potential use cases for CryptoPole.
Monero Talk starts now.
All right. Vasily.
Yes. Douglas.
What's going on? Welcome to Monero Talk. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you. Good. How about you?
Good, good, good. It's a little early for me. I like these morning ones, though. You know, it's coffee. I'm fresh in the morning. It just takes me a minute or two to get started.
Mm-hmm.
But once I do, I actually enjoy these morning sessions sometimes more than the evening ones. So how's it going? Why don't you quickly introduce yourself, and then we'll get into CryptoPole.
Yes. I'm Vasily. I'm a software developer living in Helsinki. I'm interested in cryptocurrencies, from the technical point of view. So I was like learning about the Bitcoin, Monero. And I found a really nice but underestimated concept in Monero, this kind of ring signatures. And we'll talk about this.
How long you been in crypto? I mean, obviously you don't have to give us exact numbers, and how long you been in the field?
Oh, maybe like I'm aware about this since the Bitcoin have started, but like from technical point of view, maybe like last year I started to learn all this kind of like from the mathematical point of view, how it happens, how actually this the encryption, the signature happens.
And are you doing things like developing in crypto or?
Well, I'm a software developer, full stack developer, Node.js, TypeScript, React. So basically, I'm working in a company. We're doing some kind of business applications. So just usual developer, and like doing the crypto and learning this is kind of my hobby.
Okay. And then so that you went ahead, you discovered Monero, you got interested in the ring signature portion of Monero. And what was it about that aspect of Monero that interests you?
Well, as I mentioned, it's when I understood what kind of how powerful it is, it's a pity that it's underestimated. So like if you ask people, maybe developers, they will know about ED25519 signatures. Okay, we can have a public key, private key, we can have a message, we can sign it. So it's kind of, we all get used to this, but when we talk some kind of advanced concepts, it's okay, people are not aware of this. But surprisingly, the how many things this kind of signatures can unlock, it's like really surprising. And if we can, I can actually start to talk about that direction.
Yeah, well, let's go into it. So CryptoPole is the app that you developed. Yes. Let's say, are you aware about this? I'm pretty sure that you are, but should we talk about what is ring signature and like how it's used in Monero? So should we have this introduction?
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it. Give us your take on ring signatures.
Maybe I can even share some slides.
Go for it.
So I had a talk about WebAssembly, but like this just slide from this presentation. And ring signature, like correct me if I'm saying it wrong, we don't have list of public keys. So we have a private public key infrastructure, and ring is a list of public key. And we have a message which is signed by one of them. It's impossible to know by which one. And also key image is the same as signature is the same. So that's basically it. Like if you talk about what ring signature is and it's developed in the C++ code from Monero. In Monero, it uses it to hide actually the transactions. So if you have a coin and you try to spend this coin, you just take some other like great ring of 16 coins and then sign it, and it's impossible to know who exactly was it, so which coin it was. So this way, the Monero actually performs this anonymously and privacy in Monero.
Right. Monero uses ring signatures for obfuscating who the sender of a transaction is. There's other technologies involved in obfuscating the amounts, in obfuscating the receiver, and ring signatures comes in for the purposes of obfuscating the sender, because you never know who the true signer of a transaction is. It's always, you know, one out of X amount of signers.
Yes. So basically, if you have a dirty coin and then you send this dirty coin to someone else, this person can always say, it was like, not this, it was, I had a, there are 16 possible options for this coin to be, and 15 of them are clean, and this only one dirty, I don't know who it was, so I just was taking that one. So, absolutely correct.
And now, so you're using this concept of ring signatures for a different application, not for a cryptocurrency or for Monero purposes, but for...
Yes. So actually, surprisingly, this is used in Monero. The original paper is like about 20 years old. It was published in 2004, so that's 20 years old. This kind of ring signature, the mathematics behind this in Monero, was like 6 years old or some kind of like this, or quite old one, tested. And the use case, exactly. So using this one, we had a solution for such a problem like elections and voting with zero trust, because cryptocurrencies, they have zero trust by default. They were developed having a zero trust environment. And we can use it for having real elections and have real voting, which is not possible to fraud, which is trusted, and the election result is trusted. And meanwhile, you're not able to make something wrong, because even it passes the whole encryption or it's not. So you can perform it in absolutely zero trust environment. Another use case is to use the anonymous survey in organizations, because it's quite often when some organizations want to have anonymous survey, and every employee gets a link, and they got a personal link. Everyone got a unique link, and all the trust, this is it kind of anonymous or not, is just by the company who performs this survey. And having this, you might close some important feedback, probably negative feedback, because people, especially if they're developers, they're security-oriented developers, they will not trust anyone. They will not trust the company who performs this survey. So will they keep this anonymous or not? In that case, you just can miss some feedback. But if you use the ring signatures, you will absolutely sure that it's absolutely clear and absolutely reliable. And another option which you can talk is an anti-mafia investigation. And in a case when we had people want to start the anti-mafia investigation, they want to report a crime, but they're afraid to do this. And because if they do this, mafia will kill them, or maybe boss will fire them. But they want to start this kind of discussion, and they can use the ring signature for this too. So they can start and say, okay, I've seen this, there is a crime,
they can sign the message, and we can know, okay, this probably was someone from this company, but we don't know who it was. So this kind of the problems we have in our world, and yes, we already have solutions for them.
I'm sorry. Go back to the anti-mafia thing, the anti-mafia part.
Yes.
Well, explain that a little bit more. I'm missing the how it can be used for anti-mafia investigations. By the way, how's my sound? My sound is okay. Okay.
Let's imagine we have a organization, like government organization, and the boss of this organization is involved in some kind of crimes. I don't know. He's like stealing money from the government or just do something bad. And let's assume that this organization is a software development company, and every developer have their public keys on the GitHub. So in that case, a developer can take a ring, taking all the public keys from all employees from this organization, and create a message like, "I've seen that my boss like doing this there, and it's not correctly," and he can publish this message.
Okay.
Yes, the other guy from other department, okay, can also write a message. Okay, I also seen this too. He signs this. It's a ring signature. It's not impossible to know who it was, but because of the different key image, we can absolutely sure that they are different people. So it's a different.
So like a way to anonymously whistleblow collectively as a group.
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
Yes. And at some point, when you have enough people, when you have enough different key images, knowing that, okay, there are different people we're talking about this, then you can start an investigation and actually having this. Yes. Because if it's only one person who starts, he will probably be punished and just fired or even killed. So it's kind of a way to start the discussion. Yes.
That's very interesting concept. I like that last one. I've never thought of that as a use case for voting anonymously. I like that. That's interesting. That could be used in corporations. That could be something that's every federal employee is given the opportunity to do this, right? as a check on government, right? As a way to whistleblow. That's pretty interesting. Go ahead, continue. I'll let you continue with your thought processes.
Yes, and the CryptoPol.org, the website, it's from the technical point of view, I just took the code from Monero, just copy-pasted it, compiled to WebAssembly, and have a kind of demo for this. So we can actually, right now we can...
Yeah, go ahead, bring it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
We can play around with this, and... I pressed the wrong button.
It's okay. Go ahead and do present again.
Yes. Here's a web page, CryptoPol.org. And let's begin with, I want to create a public key pair. We want to sign a message. So we generate a public-private key pair. The private key is saved in local storage, like from the technical point of view. But here's our public key. Nice. Okay, there's some other public keys, and I will just copy paste them. So, for example, this is my public key from my GitHub. This public key from this guy from GitHub. I'm sharing the wrong. Yeah. So this public key is from that another guy from GitHub, and he's a software developer in Monero. He's involved in Monero development. So I just went to this link, and
explain to us what's going on here. So you're.
Yeah, I'm just showing that having a link like this, you can go to GitHub, you can get the public keys from a developer or from the GitHub. Having this one is exactly as this one, but just in different format. So it's a right. Public key for this user on the GitHub. I just want to show that, okay, we have a place where we can get public-private key infrastructure, so GitHub's safe. So we can have keys for the developers, and we can hide between some of those people. So let's have a ring. So our ring will be containing of four public keys. So there are some free public keys, which I don't have access to them like those. I don't have private key for those. And this is my public key, which is this one. Let me check that I'm sharing. Yes, correctly. And let's hide it somewhere here. And let's write a message. Hello. And we have a sign. So we actually just created a ring signature from this ring of four public keys. And let's do a verification. So we take this.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah, so we take the message, original message. We take the list of the public keys, which can be actually distributed with a message. But for the use case of voting, the list of public keys have to be fixed in the beginning. But I will talk about this in a few moments. And let's click verify. So, yes, verification successful. And we definitely know that this message was signed by someone from those four, mm-hmm. but we don't know who. And what we see, there's a key image. So let's try. Last time, my key image was this one. We create a new message using the same key, using the same ring. And what happens? We see that the key image is the same. So it's exactly the same value, which means that if the same person tries to create different messages on the same ring, we can link them together. So this is kind of linkable part of the ring signatures, and we know that okay, they are from the same person.
So you could see if somebody voted twice, essentially.
Exactly. Right. Yes, and the voting itself is
for those listening on podcast. I think you know this is a good episode to watch the video of on YouTube, so you could better see everything that's going on here. But basically, you're demoing this CryptoPoll app that you built using the ring signature component of Monero, and you fork this from the Monero code. It's not like you rebuilt a ring signatures application on your own. You actually use the ring signature application of Monero itself to build this?
Yes, exactly. And it's possible to implement this in JavaScript. In my first implementation was in JavaScript, like have it on the front end. But in crypto and in the security, it's better to have a tested, verified code. That's why I use Monero. So for me, it was very important to take the same code, exactly the same code as in Monero. And the output is exactly the same as we have in Monero. Because let's say we have a crypto code and you have a cryptocurrency, the bug bounty for the cryptocurrency is extremely high. So if you if you find a bug in Monero code, you can sell this bug like extremely, extremely expensive. Like you can de-anonymize someone, or you can like steal the crypto. So this code is already tested. This code is already proven to be secure, and this is very, very important.
Very exciting, very, very cool. I like that you've made it very usable. Obviously, this kind of just allows people to demo. How useful is it currently as an app if somebody wanted to start using it for these purposes? I don't know, somebody in a business wanted to set this up to allow their employees to start voting anonymously, or somebody wanted to run a local election. Where is this at in terms of development and usability for people to interact with it in those ways, or is it really just kind of at the demo stage at this point?
Yes. If you want to have it, write me a message and I can build the rest.
Very cool.
Add the feedback. I can get. I need more feedback. I need more kind of understanding what actually people needs and what kind of use. But of course, it's just you're correct. It's just more a demo for this, a proof of concept, and like to use in a business case, it have to be an dashboard when we can enter, for example, emails, click a button, then invitation links is sent to everyone. So like where it will be possible to do a voting, to answer a surveys for non-technical people. And also to make it easy for non-technical people, and also make it possible for the technical people who wants to ensure that this is exactly how it happens. And so, yes, there is kind of some work have to be done. And if you want to perform, just let me know, and I can do it because I'm a software developer.
It'd be cool if you if we hook this up with even something like Twitter, right, where people can vote on Twitter but anonymously. using their usernames or user accounts as the public keys. Does that make any sense? Can something like that work?
In Twitter, you don't have already generated a key pair. So, like, the initial step for the voting, like, in this, we have to gather the public keys from everyone. So everyone first have to generate the key pair, then they publish their key, public key, and then we freeze the list of voters. So say, okay, these are the people who are able to vote, eligible to vote. If we talk about...
So that's the kind of part, that's, you know, a problem that's not really solved by this, right? So the issuing of the... of the public keys, or the creation of the key pairs, there needs to be a trustful way to create that, right? So that you know that the keys that you're giving out are just the people that you want to vote, and people aren't creating multiple keys, right?
Yes, and you have to generate, because usually people do not generate private keys, public key pair, and the only way I found is that developers who have a GitHub, who have a SSH access to GitHub, they generate the key pair, they have a private key of their computer, and they use this to connect to GitHub. So that's way we can also take the existing public key. But yeah, usually it's not so distributed. Maybe, for example, if everyone use some kind of encryption system or signature system, when everyone have a key pair generated, and we know, okay, this public key belongs to that person, this can be used. But for now, we had to have this initial step to generate the keys and gather the public keys for the vote.
Sounds like you got to team up with WorldCoin. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just thinking outside of the box here. This is really cool. Actually, so we interviewed somebody on the show 3 years ago. I was looking back in the archives because I was like, I remember somebody was working on this. We had a group in Italy it was at least 3 years ago that was working with the local government there, actually a local political party, and they were building a tool using Ring signatures to do essentially this anonymous voting. I don't know if they ever got it off the ground. I never saw anything in this regard where they actually had a working demo of it. So this is obviously something that's been thought about for a while. I think actually even, right, the concept of ring signatures itself was originally devised with that in mind for voting purposes, I believe, before it was actually implemented in, you know, cryptocurrencies like Monero, correct? Well, give us some history there on the concept itself of using ring signatures for voting.
What I know, that the original paper, like 20 years old, where all the mathematics and like describing them, ring signature, and yes, they mentioned the applications like voting and leaking the secrets.
So do you know if we're seeing this out in the wild? Like I said, I saw this group in Italy years ago. They were trying to, similar to you, use the Monero code base to essentially fork it and create a system. Do you know of any other systems that are out there live, working, that people are actually using for this purpose?
That's kind of a pity that I don't know. And as I mentioned, it's just underestimated. You understood. So there are lots of power in this technology and people are just not aware of this. But I'm trying to bring this information to the world. You can use it. Yes. And actually, I think that it will take some time to get used to this in a voting, in a like real voting. But what I see, like in the near future, it can be used for anonymous surveys in the companies. So when it starts to be used in this kind of environment, like for the small group of people, when the people understand, okay, it's useful, it's used, it's trusted, there are no issues. And after this, it can be expanded to a bigger and bigger scale. But I think that the beginning is will be on the anonymous surveys. And it's also nice to see, like in a cryptocurrency, that cryptocurrencies actually bring in the world forward in sense of the security, in sense of the cryptography, because it's so nice to see this. Those technologies are really used and really proven. So from that point of view, cryptocurrencies bring in the world to be a better place.
Yeah, no, very cool. You just got me thinking. You know, I'm thinking of different potential applications. Actually, I looked back at my interview from 3 years ago. I spoke about this on that interview as well. Many, many years ago, before I actually even discovered Bitcoin, this was, I think, in like 2009, I was working on a project called Gov Together, which actually eventually led me to Bitcoin and led me to the people who were talking about Bitcoin at the time. And unfortunately, I was so focused on this idea that I didn't start to go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole that time. I wish I did. But it was called Gov Together, and the concept was to essentially implement a form of direct democracy through current representative democracy by getting a representative, like a congressman, to agree to use a polling system among his constituents, and then to use that polling system to help determine how he votes in Congress. So essentially giving all his constituents the ability to vote on every issue. And when I ran for Congress here in 2020, that was part of my platform, promising people that if elected, I would implement a way for all my constituents to essentially vote on every issue, and then I would use that polling to help determine how I vote in Congress. Not the promise being that it would be something that I would use, wouldn't necessarily determine my vote, but I would help use it to help determine how I would vote. If, you know, if 80% of my constituents all said vote this way, I would likely vote in accordance with them, unless I was protecting some important minority opinion that I felt important about as a representative. I think that could be a potential great use case for something like this, because it wouldn't be real voting, but it'd be a way for people to benefit from giving everybody the ability to poll and vote, and in a secure way. Whenever I would talk to people about the concept, obviously this issue would come up. Well, how would you ensure that it would be accurate? And my answer was always, well, it doesn't have to be 100% accurate, because it's not real voting at the end of the day. It's just a polling system. But yeah, just curious your thoughts on that, and any thinking there, how this, you know, if this could be a good fit for that. Obviously, I think it could, but curious.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The multiple like use case saying that if you want to make possible for people to share their opinion anonymously and secure, and we want to also be secured from double voting or any kind of fraud like this. So yes, this is a solution for this.
So theoretically, I could hire you and have you build that system. Is what we're saying. We can do that. I think the hard part, once again, with something like that would be the issue of actually giving people the keys in a way where we can ensure that it's, you know, one constituent per key, right? And that's a problem that needs to be solved outside of the network. Any thoughts around those ideas? I mean, that's like you said with the GitHub thing, that kind of solves it. But in general, do you think this is a problem that can be solved?
If I understood you correct, that if people want to participate in this, they just have to go somewhere, click a button, and generate the key and save it on their device, or like to have this private key personally. Yes, and if I understood you right, do you want your voters to be able to vote only, or do you want everyone who is eligible to elections to vote?
Yeah, in this scenario, it would be that I'd want everybody living within the district a registered voter to be able to vote. Whether they're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever they're registered, but a legal registered voter living in the district to be able to create one of these public keys, and in a way where we know that the person creating it is actually the person, right?
Yes.
Obviously, that's a hard problem to solve.
Yes. Of course, you have to have some kind of a list of people, like who lives in this district, and you're not able to publish the whole list, like because it's a private personal data. So, but of course, it will be interesting. I don't know. Maybe if you publish a list and somehow remove the personal data, just keeping address by the home, for example, say, okay, in this house there are people live like, I don't know, 10 people or 100, like suppose it's a big city and we have a list of houses in this district, and we know, okay, these people, like 100 people in this house and that house, and then you have a list of those and you have a list of public keys. Say, okay, this public, and this is also public, so you can go on web page, you can check, okay, my key is there. I can say, okay, from this house there are about 10 people who registered their keys, from that house about 10 people, but using this system it probably will solve this.
Do you love coffee and Monero as much as we do? Consider making gratuitous.org your daily cup. Pay with Monero for premium fresh beans, and if you like what you taste, send a digital cash tip directly to the Guatemalan farmers that made it possible. Proceeds help us grow this channel, Gratuitous, and Monero.
Because obviously the end goal, right, would be to do this on a mass level and to actually have voters voting directly on issues. What do you think of that concept in general? I mean, I personally believe in the need for representative democracy. I'm not completely sold on the concept of a true direct democracy where constituents vote directly on issues. For fear that you'd have tyranny of the majority potentially. Just curious your kind of political thoughts on that, or philosophical thoughts on that. Do you think that's ultimately something that society should move towards, or do you think you need some kind of representative between the people and the voting?
What I think and what I see in Finland, like society moves to that, already moves to that direction. So
in Finland, yes.
There are some initiatives from the people. So you can, I don't know about United States, but in Finland, you can have an initiative. You can just post it and people will vote for this. And if it gets some kind of amount of votes, then government have to take this and take a look on this. There are lots of votes, polls about where the city have to spend their money. For example, there are multiple things. Do we have to improve this park, or do we have to improve that one, or do we have to build this one? And there's a platform. People can go there and say their preferences, maybe write some other ideas. And this works in Finland. So yes, people who are interested where their government money are spent, where their money are spent, they use this platform.
So basically for referendums, do you think it could be used on a level where all government, the legislative branch of a government, was essentially run by the people? I think, even in the US we have referendums on certain things. But do you think do you believe in a that it would be possible or worthy to create a system where the entire legislative branch of a government was run directly by the voters?
What I think it's important to get the opinions from the people, but
definitely,
as you mentioned, there is a risk that it will be a dictatorship of the majority, and it's also right. Kind of very bad. So it'll have to be a person which is elected and which is responsible to make everyone's lives better, not just of the majority. So from that point of view, I think the system will work if we have some kind of a platform where we can, as people, we can express our opinion. But in general, the final decision is made by the person which we elected. And then we can see how it actually matches between what we think and what he's doing. So.
And like I said, as far as you know, we don't know of any governments that are using this to give their citizens the ability to vote online, things like that, right? That's not, do we know of anywhere where that's happening, things like that?
Oh, well, I know that in Russia there is online voting, and I was checking the code, how it was implemented, and from the mathematical point of view, it's pretty good, but for implementation, it's kind of closed system, they're a closed list of voters, so you don't know who are exactly there. You can vote, you can see there your ballot here, but you don't know who else. So there might be 1 million of generated voters which will vote correctly. So from that point of view, it's not very trusted. But anyway, it's possible. It's possible to make it trusted if just make it open source, clear, and have a clear list of voters who is eligible to vote. That's kind of the biggest problem in this kind of system. But
Yeah, I guess the other problem that comes up when people talk about voting online Obviously, the security, but this kind of solves that. We talk about the issuing of keys, right? There's that kind of real meat space issue. And then there's also the issue of ensuring that people don't start selling their votes, right? Selling their keys. But I guess
same problem with the usual voting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of this problem was not possible to solve. So it's always will be. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Even more, if you have for example, voting, usual voting, when people go and write their vote on the paper, there might be some fraud from the government, like writing some non-existent people or maybe letting them in or like not checking the documents properly. So there might be some kind of fraud like this. If you have a digital system and you have a list of eligible voters, then it's not possible to do this fraud. So from that point of view, it's even more secure.
Yeah, but it just makes it easier for people to start selling their vote, their ability to vote, right? So obviously we see that kind of happening in elections in indirect ways, but now it can be done directly where somebody could say, you know, I'm paying $5 for everybody's, you know, per key. Just give me your key. And, you know, people might just say, here, you're like, I don't care about voting anyway. Next thing you know, somebody bought up a bunch of keys to do voting, right?
Then they deserve this government. So.
that's back to the problem of the majority, right? Like we want to give everybody the ability to vote in the most pure way possible. But the problem is when you have all of society doing something, often it leads to some ridiculous outcomes. Especially in this country, I'd be very fearful of it. With the things that we see getting discussed online, some of the things that do get that you see are popular, it's like, whoa, I don't know if I want the majority in charge of everything.
It's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
It's already happening in some kind of a way that like maybe the election wins the guy who like promised the most and just looked nice. So yes, it's kind of the way how the system works. If people will just sell their vote or vote for the most prettier guy, or the guy who like promised the most, then okay. But as I mentioned, it's what they deserve. So it's kind of.
Tell us more how you got into this. Obviously, so you must have a real interest in this concept of is your interest in improving voting itself, or was it just the kind of the tech behind ring signatures that got you excited and you saw a use case for it that hasn't really been tapped into, only talked about, but hasn't really been built, and you saw a way to build, so that excited you? What really motivated you to actually go ahead and build this thing?
Probably from the tech point of view, I was learning. I was seeing, okay, it's really nice technology, not used. We have to bring the information to the people about this so we can actually understand what it is and why it's important to know that such kind of system exists. Mostly from the technical point of view. And also, I was interested to build something on the WebAssembly initially, and something which will do something useful on the web browser. And I was thinking, okay, what can I use like any C++ code which I can build and use on a web page? So then I found, okay, Monero ring signatures, pretty good one. And then all of them combined into the crypto pool.
Has anybody reached out to you yet with interest in trying to build a specific application for it?
Well, there is one person on Reddit who wrote me about this and asked for how can it be used? Because what I did is on the GitHub, you can use it like a library, so it's pretty easy to start to use it in your own application. We live in an open source world when we talk about the cryptocurrencies and the encryption. So yes, so there was some kind of people were interested from the technical point of view. And actually, this guy also mentioned some interesting concept regarding how to make it useful and easy for the non-technical person. I have to say thanks.
Okay.
Some ideas like...
Can you give us any insights into that? You mean for purposes of like creating the key versus the improving what aspect of it?
Yes, yes. Mostly what he proposed is you have a dashboard, you have like a page. You, for example, you want to organize a vote, you write a list of emails of people who are eligible to vote. Then the system sends a registration email to everyone. Everyone clicks the link, confirms. Okay. Then the system gathers all the public keys from all the participants. It's also quite visible somewhere on some web page. Then the people, the person who created the poll, he can say, okay, now we start the polling. The list is freezed of the eligible voters. Then everyone got another message. Okay, now it's time for the vote. So that's kind of thing.
Oh, that's very cool. And then that would become, like you said, very usable for like a company that wants to issue this to their employees.
Exactly. The same way as it works now for the companies which performs anonymous survey, but just to bring the cryptography on the background, rather than just trusting the company who organizes this.
Very cool. Very cool, Matt. So what? Let's back up and we'll talk about crypto now a little bit. So what is your take on Monero? I mean, do you have an interest in it beyond the ring signature component? Just curious what your Monero viewpoint is.
Well, what I really like that it's pretty stable from a financial point of view. So I have some savings on Monero, and the price of for Monero not like getting high or low like Bitcoin. So I'm pretty sure that what I have now is pretty the same as I will have like in a year or two. So it's kind of I used for the savings, I don't know, should I say about this, but sometimes if I need to transfer someone money, then I can use Monero just not to be visible. As, especially when we have economics and like as I mentioned, I live in Helsinki like 6 years, but my country of origin is Russia, and sometimes I need to transfer money to Russia to help my mother, for example, or some of my relatives. And because of all this economic situation, all the sanctions, not possible. But using crypto and Monero, it's possible. So I can buy it here and then sell it there. So it's not visible for the governments.
But... Yeah, very, very powerful use case. And you see Monero as being good for that use case compared to other cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, Bitcoin is very transparent. And I'm afraid that if I will sell Bitcoins in Russia, then it will be visible here and I might get some kind of problems here because of sanctions and everything. So
I don't know why more people aren't, or maybe they are. Do you know, is that becoming a trend? Are people using it for those purposes?
Well, it requires some technical knowledge and understanding, so I don't think it will be used in a bigger scale. But I know that other developers which have to help their families which are left in Russia, they do. So it's kind of the world, so whereas no other, no one can ban you, no one can like bring some regulations and everything. So, yeah.
Do you have any insight into the popularity or the awareness, at least, of Monero in Russia? Do you know? I mean, obviously, I would think everybody there knows Bitcoin, right? Is Monero a cryptocurrency that people are aware of in Russia?
No. So it's kind of the same. People live their life. They usually don't need this until they have a kind of real reason for using those. So people are pretty happy with what they have right now. So. It's and also I started to learn this because I was like interested in this like topic from a mathematical point of view, but then I understood, okay, I can use it also for this one.
That's great that you've made that realization. That means Monero's working as intended, right? It's serving its purpose.
Do we want this or do we not want this? There's this kind of happening.
What are your thoughts on that? You know, obviously, I'm on the we want this side. Curious, what you know, how, in your mind, how are you measuring these things?
What I think that the world is overly regulated, and to have a system where the rules are clear from the beginning, like when you have a cryptocurrency and the rules of spending, rules of having, and they are fixed and they're not going to change during just someone decides, okay, I need to do this. So in that case, having that system is really nice, and I think the world sooner or later will understand that we, as a whole humanity of whole society, we need some kind of a system where the rules will be fixed from the beginning and not be changed during the game.
Right. So that's you're kind of talking about the currency itself, right? Being a secure store of wealth, a currency that can't be adjusted at whim by a government or those that control the government. They can't control the issuance of it. A non-fiat form of government that's decentralized that nobody controls. How about from the feature of like Monero, which obviously has those things as well, but then the additional ability to use your money without any corporation or government being able to see how you use it, when you're using it. Obviously, you're talking about the positive use cases that you used it for, but do you think overall it's a positive thing for society? Or, I mean, obviously people are out there making arguments against it, right? There's politicians that are out there that are saying, you know, this is can be used for financing terrorism, this can be used for bad things. We know that cash is the most popular tool for that. But curious what your kind of philosophical viewpoint of those concepts are.
Well, philosophical, we still have much more good people in this world rather than bad ones. And at least I hope so. I want to believe so. And the limitations and kind of, I don't trust the government. Governments, how do they solve some kind of problems? So sometimes they just they can find some problem, terrorism, but the solution might be absolutely ridiculous, which affects absolutely unrelated people. And so, from that point of view, having some kind of system, of course, will bring much. Will bring the society to the better place. Yes, we might say that as cash and the crypto can be used for some doing something illegal. Yes, it happens, but it's not the problem of the cryptocurrency. It's another problem which have to be solved in another way.
Mm-hmm. So you believe in this idea of giving, if a tool like Monero exists, and it does, that giving people access to this, allowing people to freely transact is a positive step for society.
Also, I know that by some rumors that people in Germany, they still use the cash. Yes, because the rumor is that they don't want to let their government to know about where and how do they spend their money. And in that case, so we already have a society like in Germany when people cares about their privacy and how do they spend their money. And of course, in that society, bringing the Monero into use, like in the whole country. So there is already need for this. People already don't trust the government. They already want to be secure. They want to be like, don't want to let government to know where and how they would spend their
money. Right. They understand the importance. They've learned their lesson, right? They've learned their lesson.
Yes.
For sure. Curious, how closely do you follow Monero? Have you noticed what's been happening with the transaction count? Because this also ties into ring signatures. Have you seen that there's been a large influx of transactions and then some people theorizing what might be going on? One of the theories being that it was an attempted flood attack on Monero, a way to essentially decipher the true spends in a ring signature?
Oh, yes, I've seen this, but let's say it's already happened like a few weeks ago. So, having this, like taking this in a retrospective, I didn't notice any kind of problems with like receiving Moneros or spending Moneros. For me, things works. There always can be a possibility to have some kind of a flood attack. It's just the amount of fees, how it like Bitcoin already had this problem and they already solved this. So I don't think it will be a big issue. Or the worst thing which can happen is that the fees will rise in the price. So in Bitcoin, like spending a transaction can cost like €1 or €2. So it's pretty expensive to use it like for a simple payments. Like in Monero, the transaction fees are quite small, so it can be used nowadays. But what can happen? The worst thing which can happen is just the fee price will be increased. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, and Monero's really built for its fees to stay low, given that it has a dynamic block size. So, you know, as more transactions come in, the blocks get larger. You can put more transactions in each block. It keeps transaction fees low. Even with more users.
And also in Monero, the mining, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I know, the mining is pretty expensive, and it was built to be inexpensive and to be possible to mine only on the CPU. So every Moneros which we have, which we mine, they actually worth some electricity and some real money. So it's not something in Bitcoin you can have a miner like on the GPU and have lots of, like, so when the Bitcoin actually started to be popular, lots of people mined the Bitcoins because of easy way to do this. In Monero, the opposite, every mined coin is a cost sum. So it's also kind of bring the stability to the currency. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, obviously in Bitcoin as well, every mined coin costs something as well. But the main difference there is you have specialized hardware that has an advantage. And then so that leads towards a form of centralization where you have large corporations that do the majority of the mining because they have this advantage where they have access to this hardware, or they have the capital to buy the hardware and have access to energy. So it tends towards having just a few large miners that are doing all the mining, and then these large mining corporations become approachable by governments, as opposed to Monero, where it's built to be resistant to ASICs. So all the best miner in Monero, or mining device in Monero, is the CPU itself. So whether you're mining with your laptop or your phone, you're basically competing in an egalitarian way where you have no advantage over anybody else. So it's kind of more of a one CPU, one vote outcome in Monero.
Yeah. Yes. And having an ASIC miner, like, maybe not right now, but in some past, you can, like, invest and you can have a benefit profit from this, like, 10 times, 100 times more than you spent. In Monero, if as far as I know, like, correct me if I'm wrong, the mining is not very profitable. So if you just calculate the price of the equipment and the price of the electricity and the how much you will mine, you will understand, okay, it will be almost the same as you just go and buy this Monero. Which means that if you have a new mined Monero, it means that people actually spend those money to. So it's not, you're just not, you don't buy like air or some nothing. You just, when you buy Monero, you know that it was mined, someone spent their funds. So from going forward, it's kind of an economical stable for the Monero.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Any other Monero related thoughts or thinking? Are you familiar with full membership proofs that's coming to Monero?
No.
Okay. full membership proofs will improve the ring signature component of Monero, make it vastly superior to what it currently is, effectively creating an anonymity set that would be the size of all the inputs in the network. Right now, I think it's I should know this. It's 1 out of 16, I believe, right now in the ranks. Right, with full membership proofs, it will basically be 1 out of the size of the entire, you know, entire network, right? All the inputs combined. So just curious if you're familiar with that. I guess not. Yeah, you should definitely look into that. That's a big deal for Monero, because actually, so that's what I was trying to get at with the flood attack. I mean, it is one of the one perhaps flaws of Monero is its ring signatures has a limited ability to conceal who the sender is. If you have enough resources, there are things that can be done to pinpoint attack a person to try to gain some insight who the real sender may be. You'll never know deterministically, but probabilistically you can kind of eliminate some of the false signers, some of the decoys. Full membership proofs eliminates that completely, and there's really no way to do it at that point.
Yes, and as I think there was some kind of stories when police was able to track someone because person got money and immediately spent them, and the ring of candidates like 16 person, and it was pretty obvious that it just was enough to like just check them. Who can it be? So
yeah, I mean a lot of those examples are things that I think even, you know, perhaps full membership proofs wouldn't help with, right? If somebody sends you $999.96 or whatever, if you steal, you know, $9,996,000, and then you send that exact amount to an exchange, you know, they might be able to put two and two together. But yeah, it's also yeah, something called an Evalice Eve attack that's been used to gain insight into what the true spend might be among the decoys. So yeah, just curious of your thoughts. But you're using ring signatures in a way where you see great value in the concept.
Yes, and in my examples, the ring will be not like 16 if it's talking about the survey, but 100 person. If it's a voting, it can be thousands or even more, depending on how like a big district we want. So, yeah, but it's kind of scalable.
On that.
All right, Vasily, Matt, thank you so much. I hope you stick around the Monero community, get more involved, and I hope you get some more feedback from the Monero community, some more interest. Maybe we see, you know, what you built starting to be used in perhaps even in ways that could help the Monero community. I don't know, maybe people build tools for Monero governance. I don't know, any thoughts there on using it as a voting tool among cryptocurrency communities themselves? I don't know, maybe there's better ways to do that, but curious if you have any thoughts on that.
It will be interesting to, for example, we have a pull request and the reviewer is not known, but somewhere hidden between the contributors, or like, I forgot the word, the people who are responsible for the project. Like, for example, we have 10 people which are responsible for the project. Someone of them brings to the review, to your pull request, which you want to change in the Monero code base. But we don't know who, but it was someone from them. Okay, fine.
That's interesting. That's a very interesting concept. Yeah, so very cool. I mean, I'll give you final word. Any other information you want to put out there with regards to this?
Yeah, if you are interested, to all listeners, if you are interested to have this like a survey or something, please let me know and we can organize the system, which will be easy to use for the non-technical users too.
Very cool. And where can people find you, reach out to you?
Webpage, cryptopol.org. There is all the contact information, the link to GitHub. There is everything's there.
Vasily, very, very cool, man. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing this. Maybe one last thought. Maybe we see you at MoneroCon. Not exactly in your backyard, but it's going to be in Prague, so might be accessible to you.
Yeah,
and that's happening in June. Are you aware of MoneroCon?
Not yet, but I will take a look. Especially.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely take a look. Yeah, it could be very cool, and you could perhaps make some good connections there. Vasily, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll be in touch. I might reach out to you for that GovTogether project. Who knows? You got me thinking now. Although I don't need another project right now, but it's definitely a passion of mine. Something I'd love to see.
Take your time to think about this. Yeah.
All right. Have a good one.
Yeah.
So long.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode. We release new episodes every week. You can find and subscribe to our show on YouTube, Odyssey, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Go to MoneroTalk.live to subscribe for a full list of places where you can watch and listen. If you want to interact with us, guests, or other podcast listeners, you can follow us on Twitter. And please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps people find the show, and we are always happy to read them. So thanks so much, and we look forward to being back next week.